Couple things here. Today I'm going to be speaking to you about elders. And what I mean by elders, I mean that office in the church where people serve as elders. And so I was wondering if I should get some of those big gold chairs up here and have all the elders sit up front behind me while I talk, you know, like they have on television. No, we wouldn't do that, but that's more of a joke. But I should have all the elders sit up in the front, like right here, all the elders. We'll all be up in the front and in it together this morning. This is important because elders are a significant part of a church. They play a significant role. And I actually really believe that you probably don't even really have a church if you don't have elders. You know, you just have some people getting together. But one of the integral parts of having a church is you need to have elders. This fits into our series, which I said was going to be a month, but I'm like now rethinking it's probably going to be 2 months. Going to take about 2 months to talk about these things because I tried to do this in one part and I realized it's not going to happen unless you guys want to stay here all afternoon. But I figured let's take it easy. We'll do like one part of it. Next week we got a lot going on. We'll get the second part of it, and if we get done with that, we'll be done with that. Otherwise, we'll take a third week on elders. But now that we're getting into it, we really want to cover it well and really spend some time so that you really understand what an elder is, what it's all about, and then the other parts of our church that we're going to cover. We want to not rush through any of those things. It's all important. Now, I would appreciate your prayers. I had a very full week, and I can always tell when I had the kind of week that I want to have where, you know, I get things done early, I have a lot of time to think about it, for it to soak in, I get a lot of rest the night before, versus like today, where I feel like I was up till really too late, got up too early, bringing this all together. So pray for me that God would help me through this as we go through this together today. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for our church. This is all part of us wanting to have a stronger, healthier church, wanting to have a church that is not about me, but it's about you and you working through the lives of the people who are here. And just pray that you would do that, even if I'm and myself and Hannah, if we're removed out of the situation, Lord, that this church just is strong and healthy and can go on and has people here that can preach and teach and lead. And we're just so thankful for that. That's who we want to be. That's the picture we see of a church in the scripture. And we want to be a church that reflects that. Thank you so much. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I titled this The Truth About Elders. I had a whole different title, which was something along the lines of Elders, ... more than just old. Now, one time I introduced myself at the back to someone who was visiting. This was quite some time ago. I said, I'm one of the elders here. And this was probably before I had as much gray hair as I have nowadays. They probably don't have a problem with this. They look at me and say, yes, you probably are one of the elders here. But the person said, an elder? You don't look very old. You know, that's what she told me. Now, I take that as a compliment, though, back then now. But I think that time is gone. It's passed me by. Calling this The Truth About Elders just because I want to understand what an elder really is, what an elder really does, you know, what God has in mind there, what the scripture really teaches about elders, because you probably hear it all the time here. We have elders at this church. And I hope that today, after I preach this message, that you look at the elders in a different way, and that this is a message that actually empowers the elders of this church to do what it is that God set them aside to do. Amen? So that's what we're looking at here. And I think that the Bible does that. There's a lot of passages that I could pick, and I'm going to touch on some, but there are two main ones that I'm going to go through, and they're listed here, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5, and 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 21. Those are the passages for this week. Now, next week, I'm going to do something totally different. I'm going to talk about the qualifications for being an elder, what God wants to see in an elder, how we pick, how we choose elders. And that'll be next week. So don't be surprised that I don't cover that today, because that's not what I'm planning to go over today. All right, so to begin with here, I'm going to just start off by making points right off the bat. Here's my first point right off the bat. Elders are not an optional feature of the church. Okay. If you were going to write down the notes today, I've got them pretty well done today. You can write these down. You'll look really smart. Elders are not an optional feature of the church. You know what I mean by optional feature? Like our steeple, that's an optional feature. You know, some churches have steeples, some churches don't. Okay? Some churches might have certain kind of committees that they do, like a social committee. That's an optional feature of the church. Some churches, and believe me, churches split over this kind of stuff. Like some churches have organs. Some churches have pianos. Some churches have guitars. Some churches have drums. Some churches have these different things, and sometimes people either split over those kind of things or they choose their church based on those kind of things. But all those are really optional features of the church. You know, altar call, I believe, is an optional feature of the church. Like some churches every week give an altar call. Every single week give an altar call. And other churches like ours, we don't regularly give altar calls. We could, but it's not something that we regularly do. And kind of more my style is to tell you, if you really mean business with God, go mean business with God in your bedroom with the door shut and go pray to Him in privately and then be consistent in that. Now, sometimes there might be a need for you to come forward, acknowledge something about the Lord before the congregation. Okay, but these are kind of optional things. They're techniques. They're ways of doing things. You know, those kind of things vary. But I'm going to say, if you look at the New Testament and you look at what the Bible says, having elders in your church is not one of those things. Having elders in your church is a requirement for every church. Now, do you know this church, just some history, didn't used to have elders. Actually had deacons only. And a lot of Baptist churches only have deacons. They don't have elders. They don't follow the elder model, which is in the Bible. Not all Baptist churches, but that was very common with Baptist churches. This church is not necessarily a Baptist church, but a lot of Baptist tradition and roots. It's very close to a Baptist church. It doesn't belong to a denomination or something, but a lot of that was held in common. But they had deacons, and some years back, Pastor Lynn, this is along the, when I first got here, when I first started attending here, I don't know, this must have been over 15 years ago now, that went through a split and a division, and as part of that, they rewrote the Constitution and they put in elders into the Constitution of this church because that's what was biblical, because that's what the Bible teaches. And you'll see this as I go through these different passages. But it's not an optional thing. It's something that God wants in every church. And so, if you have a bunch of people just get together, but no one is there that can be that elder, then that group of people, that gathering is missing that. And God wants there to be that in every church. And it's a job that was given to go and appoint elders in every church. We see that in the New Testament. We'll look at that. But if we see this, Titus 1:5, it says, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." So Paul's instruction and his direction and the mission that he was on was he sent him to go and appoint elders in every town where the people had come to believe, where there was a church. He was basically saying every church, it's not done yet, it's not ready yet until every single one of them have elders. They need to have those people. They need to have those people that do the teaching and the leading and oversee the whole thing. And I think we'll develop some more of that as we look at it. But my emphasis here is this. He says it's undone until you do that. Got to have that. Got to have that if you're a church. Okay, and also, you notice how it says elders, not elder. And it doesn't say go, there needs to be a pastor in every church. It says there needs to be elders, and it's plural. Okay, so this gets me to my second point, and I'll show you some more verses to back this up. The Bible always talks about a plurality of elders. So not just one, okay, but a plurality. Now that actually kind of goes back again to the model that some of the Baptist churches have used, which is they have deacons and then they say that their pastor is their elder. Okay, but it seems like the Bible has something very different. The Bible, and we'll talk about deacons in a few weeks, the Bible has elders plural, like there's a group of them. There's always a group of elders in the church. And so he says, you got to go and appoint elders. Now look at some of these other verses, as I say. Acts 14, starting in 23. It says, "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." So as they were going out and helping strengthening the early churches, in the book of Acts, it says one of the things that they did, they went and they appointed elders, plural, multiple elders in every church. So every church needs multiple elders. Okay, Acts 20:17. "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him." So when he's talking about the church at Ephesus, he is calling for the whole group, the whole body of elders to come to him and to meet with him. And so again, you see the plurality of elders there. And actually, I don't think that I know of, at least, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you find one this week, show me a verse in the Bible, in the New Testament, where it would paint the picture that there's one elder at a church. I think it always talks about a plurality of elders at a church, so you need multiple elders. Just before we get to this next point, stand on that. It's important because when you think about elders, it is a seriously important, significant job that comes with a lot of challenges, that takes a lot of different gifting, and it's really something that needs to be a team. There needs to be a team there. So the elders are a team. Now, we can see this really clearly here in the next point here. Third point. Elders equals overseers equals pastors equals shepherds. All those words, all those things are talking about the same thing. That's different than how we really think about it nowadays in the North American church. We typically call the pastor or the pastors the ones that are paid to be there. We might call the elders or the board members or something like that, we might think of it that way, as those who are the lay people who do it. And we typically, like in our church even, we probably typically say it that way. When you hear the elders, a lot of times you think of the lay leaders, the elders. Pastor, you might think of me. But that's not necessarily biblical. What's biblical is this: elders, overseers, pastors, shepherds, all the same thing. They're all the same thing. Do you know, first of all, that what pastor means is shepherd? Pastor means shepherd. And then in the Bible, when it talks about elders, it talks about one of the things that they do. They need to shepherd the flock. That's their job, shepherd the flock. And elders and overseers are used interchangeably. So this brings us to one of our main passages for today as we look at this passage about elders. 1 Peter 5:1. It says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." So Peter, as he's writing, and he's writing to strengthen the church here, he says, this is an exhortation. It's like an encouragement, a challenge. It's for the elders. And he says, "I'm giving you this as myself. I'm an elder too. And I'm giving this to you." Okay, as somebody who's witnessed, it was a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. He's received Christ. He's received the Holy Spirit. I think he's also received his own sufferings and things in his life, but he's looking ahead to what Christ is going to do. He's part of that. So he has this exhortation. It's for the elders. And this is what I said. This is going to be a great message for the elders today, but it's not just for the elders, because this all has to be really important to all of us here. But this exhortation, and when I think of this, I picture him giving this to us. And so remember, I'm an elder too, even though I look so much younger than these other guys. The gap is getting, it's closing really. I mean, but he says, this is exhortation is for you elders. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Exercise oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. This is really deep. I mean, there's so much here in this passage, but the exhortation that Peter gives for elders, and this is for us, but you need to understand how it works and why we have elders in our church and what kind of a role elders are supposed to play in your life. Okay? Elders are supposed to play this role in your life. As you look at it, you see a lot here. First of all, that could actually have been said, pastor the flock. So elders, their job is to pastor the flock, it says, that is among you. So it's our church. You know, so there's the church universal, like the full church, everyone who's saved, the body of Christ. But there are individual outposts of that church. And that's what we are. We're an individual outpost of the church. We're kind of more like an embassy. You could think of it that way. Like this is like an embassy. We represent Christ here. He's the real shepherd, but he puts shepherds under him that get the privilege of serving under him. And the elders, that's who we are. So we are your pastors. Not me. I'm not your only pastor. I'm not the pastor of the church. I'm a pastor of the church. The elders are the pastors here. Amen? Now, you got to get those guys, tell them that they got to get to work doing that, okay? Make sure that they know, all right? Don't let them slack off because they have a job to do here. And it's not by me. It comes through the Bible and it says, this is what you got to do. Shepherd the flock. What if I were to go out and get hit by a meat truck tomorrow? Do we have some men of God that would be here, that would be standing here, that would preach and teach and would keep things going and that would keep doing the work of God here? Do we have that? That's how it needs to be. Okay, and it starts with the elders. It's not just the elders, the rest of the church. Every single one of us here that are here today, raise your hand if you're here today. It is your job to help us to have a healthy church. That includes a lot of things. Part of it is including understanding who the elders are, what they do, how you work with them. There's so many other things that go along with that. Having right relationships with each other is important. The right relationship with the Lord. But being biblical, those things. So first thing he said, shepherd the flock. So elders got to pastor the flock. The flock is all the people. Now one cool thing about this is it's not the elders and the flock really. The elders are part of the flock. So it's like God takes some of the sheep and he says, you're still sheep. This is why it's important to have multiple elders. You're still sheep. You're still being shepherded by these others that I pull out. So like take me for example. Do I have a pastor? Yeah, I do. I've got all the elders. They shepherd me. And that's what they're called to do. So guys, I'm telling you, I'm challenging you, I'm calling you out to do that. That's what you have to do. Your job is to shepherd with me and to shepherd me, and my job is to shepherd you, and we do that. So God just takes some of the sheep, pulls them out, puts them in that position. Doesn't mean that we're any better than anyone else. It's that by God's grace and by His plan, He has pulled out certain people to do that. Okay? And so I'm thankful for that. And as part of that, he says, what you have to do as shepherding the flock, I think let's just stick with that idea of shepherding, is you're a leader, but you don't follow the model of the world, the world's leadership. You know, what does the world's leadership look like? Well, you might think like, okay, I picture a great leader. I picture a great businessman. I picture maybe a coach, you know, something like this. Picture like different guys that you say stand out as strong leaders. But it's really different. And I think this model that we see, and the Bible always just turns things around, is different. He says the model for your leadership is shepherd. Shepherd. So what does a shepherd do? Shepherd goes out, spends cold nights outside protecting the sheep. A shepherd would fight off the bear and the lion. A shepherd, when there's a lost sheep that's wandering away, a shepherd will risk his life to go and try to bring that sheep back. A shepherd probably kind of smells like the sheep because he spends so much time with them. So a shepherd's not like a corporate board. When we think of leadership, a lot of times people think of elders this way. They think about, oh, they're like a corporate board that oversees this, and they just go to meetings and they say what happens and they check out. No, a elder is a minister. It's a pastor, a shepherd. So he should be among the sheep, serving and doing these things and spending time with them. And I think Village Missions has it right in their motto, which is preach the word and love the people. So when if you really want to know what my job is here, my job is summed up in all that. And that's all I got to do. I don't have to do anything else other than that. They say, spend half your time preaching the word, spend the other half of your time loving the people. Okay, and that's, and all the other stuff should fit into that, and that's what I do, and I think it's the same for our elders as we look at it, what we do. So, in that though, God puts people and elders in this case, and you look at it in the scripture, what it is, elders are the ones who are in the position of authority over the church. That's what you see in the scripture. Now you see place in the church where the congregation also exercises authority and makes decisions and do that. But it is the elders that are, again, are part of the congregation that God sets aside to do this. For instance, he is exercising oversight. So part of the job of the elder is to just oversee everything that's going on at the church, make sure things are moving in the right direction, make sure that we're focusing on the things we're supposed to be focusing on. That is one of the things we do. Now, you to do that, and we'll talk about that next week, you have to have the right people overseeing the church. Requires a lot of wisdom, but requires a lot of humility. Tons of humility, and there are certain characteristics that God says, these have to be here for this man to be an elder. And I'll give you a preview. I did say man. I said man because I believe that the Bible teaches that elders are supposed to be men. We'll talk about that next week. And if that's controversial to you in any way, come next week. You'll hear it. It'll be good. I'll show you right in the Bible where I get that from. Okay? So, I mean, that's why we... Like, listen, I believe that women could do anything that a man can do. Really. Well, let's not talk about biological things, you know. But I mean like jobs and different things. But God lays it out in Scripture. He says, for His reason, His plan, that just like there's a male leadership in the home, He sets that aside, He makes that clear, paints that in the Scripture, there's male leadership. He says there's male leadership in the church. And this might be one of the last places in the United States of America where you can go and hear a message like this where we believe in male leadership. I don't mean just this church, but I mean the church in general. Because right now, in our society, they're trying to do away with any difference between men and women. But in the Word of God, you can't change that, what it says. Okay, and so we'll talk about that more next week. But so, that's the why all our elders are men. You'll see that, you should notice that. So, but they're to exercise oversight. And one of the things that it says is not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. And then it says not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Let's just kind of leave out the not for shameful gain, because I think all those others fit together. This is an important thing for all of you who are elders, and if there's anyone here that will someday be an elder, because I hope we'll have more elders and we'll have more deacons, but this is something that's important. You have to want the job. You have to serve willingly. It is work. It is sometimes it may be meetings, it may be meeting with people, it may be confronting difficult situations. It may be praying for people, spending more time in prayer and doing that kind of a work and labor. It may be teaching and preparing and doing these things. It may be helping people to bear with each other that don't naturally get along with each other. You know, that Bible talks a lot about that in the context of the church. And so there's a lot of work, and some of it, you know, it's really, honestly, sometimes the work's really hard. Sometimes, just as a person, you would rather like, oh man, I'd rather just go home, watch something on TV, kind of just get to myself a little bit here, not to worry about everyone else's problems. You know, actually, no, I won't say this, never mind. Yeah, I will. Okay, sorry. I have to say it now that I said that. But the thing is, in a church, you know, dealing with all the different relationships and things, I used to spend a lot of time thinking, when I first started doing this, that, you know, people might not like me, or they might not, you know, they might hear what I'm saying and they might be having trouble with some theological thing that I'm saying. And I always have that, like, somebody would call me up and be like, oh, I need to talk to you about this. And I'd be like, uh-oh. What, you know the feeling, right? Because when I call all you guys, it's the same way. Like, I got to talk to you about something. Everyone's like, oh, I don't know. I've heard that before, right? Some of you know what I'm talking about, and it might be just nothing. I just want to talk to you about nothing, but I had that same feeling, like people would call me. But typically what I found out was I wasn't nearly the problem for people that I thought I might be. Like they had other problems, sometimes like problems in their lives, but then other times it's just like one of the hardest things is relationships that they have with other people in the church and helping people through relationships and those kind of things. And that's an important challenge. It's an important thing. And it doesn't always just come natural to us in our flesh, that there's a lot needs to be done there. And God's Holy Spirit is the biggest part of that. And we need all that. But also I think that I've been called into situations to try to help. And I don't really ever know if I've done like a great job or not. It's hard. It can be really hard sometimes. But that's part of being an elder. And I could tell you, like, just as a man, like, I would probably rather just go home and watch a ball game. Okay? Amen? Yeah. But it's like God calls you to do sometimes enter into situations, or maybe like if there's somebody that has hardened their heart and is in sin, I believe that, and I don't know that I've always done a good job of this. I don't think that I have. But to go and confront somebody and to go and try to bring someone back who's wandered away. And it's not just a me thing though either. It's a whole elders thing. That's what our job is. So keep in mind, it's not just me. That would be on the elders. So we have tons of people that kind of come in and out and go in and out. But, you know, I think the whole church does this, but the elders got to set the tone in kind of reaching out and seeking out to those who are wandering. But it's got to be done willingly. And then also nobody should be an elder for like their own benefit, their own shameful gain. Like, oh, maybe that'll help my business. You know, that's just can't be how it is. That's what the Bible says. It better not be that way. Can't be for your own gain. It's got to be for God's gain and for the people that you serve. Okay, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. So you don't lead in such a way that, oh, I'm going to exercise my authority. I'm going to show you who the boss is, okay? Now, do you guys remember the old school ball coaches, you know, like Bobby Knight and those kind of guys? Remember Bobby Knight?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't translate to being a pastor and an elder. Okay, so if anyone you want to throw chairs and pews and do that kind of stuff and tell people what you're going to do and punish them and that kind of thing, that's an extreme example of that. But that doesn't translate into the kind of leadership that we're looking for to being a pastor. One thing's like, listen, I grew up in a military home. Okay? So, you know, my dad would come home and he'd be like, did you police the yard? Like, some people don't know what that means, but it means that I pick up the garbage and things like that, you know? And, you know, just in all of men, all my coaches, when I grew up and played football, all my coaches were Army sergeants. And they were like, boy, this is what you're going to do, and this is how it's going to be. What's the shortest distance between two points? A straight line, boy, you better run that way. That's what they would do to you, okay? So that's how I developed my running style, which was like... Sometimes it might be veer a little bit to the right or left to have a purpose collision with somebody, if necessary. Okay, but the thing is, as a pastor, as an elder, it's not like that. You're not to try to dominate over people. You're not to exercise authority in that way. We have an example of that in Christ. You know, Jesus says, you know, not to lord it over, but his example is servant leadership. You lead as a servant. He says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And two things in that. The chief shepherd is Jesus. So he's the real shepherd. We're just the under shepherds. We report to him. He's the real shepherd. He has put us in place to do that. But we have him. And then he says that, you know, you do this, you do a good job. What you're going to get is you're going to get the unfading crown of glory. Now, some people think that you're going to get like these physical crowns and you put on your head, you walk around with them in heaven, and maybe you lay them down at Jesus' feet, things like that. Myself, personally, I don't believe that. I believe that the crown you get is the thing that it talks about. So like when it says you get the crown of life, you get life. When you get this crown here of unfading, you know, the crown of glory, you get this, the glory is the reward. You get to be part of it. You get to be used by God. It's not that kind of glory that's for yourself, but you just get to be used by God. And that's what we have and we can be a part of. And the reward is that, you know, in it itself. Okay, verse 5 says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. And I don't think that just means physically younger in age. That's younger in maturity. Basically, it's everyone who's not an elder. You should be, as part of a church, you're putting yourself under those elders. You're willingly putting yourself under those elders. So you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so for any person, like there could be somebody that comes through these doors that knows a lot more than we do, that is academically more trained, you know, more experienced in churches and different things. But he comes to our church. That person, that man should say, you know, if I'm going to be part of this church, I'm willing to put myself under those elders. If he's not, then he can visit and he should go. And find it, because he needs to find a church where he can put himself under those elders. Amen? And so that's important. There's a humility in that. And you know what? I think what really blesses me is the guys who are elders here, that some of them have more training in certain areas than I have, or more experience in some areas, or just more experiences in life and different things in areas. But they, along the way here, willingly came and put themselves under me as an elder. And I do that back to them. You know, so it's, and I hope that you all do that to them too. Now, by the way, are your elders perfect? If you guys could have seen what I saw, there was one face that was the best face out there. What's the best face out there was like almost like laughing when I was like, no. That was the best face, because that's totally true. That's really like what it is. It's like, no, not at all. Like, even though we're supposed to do all these things and be all these things, we're going to fall short. And I'm going to fall short, definitely. And I've had people get really like frustrated with me because I didn't meet up their expectations at times, and they were really upset. Like, you were supposed to be here for me when this happened. And it's like, I can't be everywhere at once. That's true though. It really is true. Okay. Now, just recapping really quickly, and this is where you can write these down, and I'm probably going to accelerate here just a little bit. As we look at what was said there, elders must do these things. They must shepherd the flock. Elders must shepherd the flock. That's what the passage said. They must do so willingly. I said they must want the job. Okay, let's say that we think there's a guy. This guy should be an elder at this church. And we go talk to him and go, you should be an elder at this church. And he's like, I don't know if I want to do that. Well, that guy shouldn't be an elder. Mm-hmm. We should not have to talk anyone into being an elder. Mm-hmm. Because that person who's an elder, who's the right man to be an elder, should want to do the job. Because the job is important and it's a high calling, it's a calling of God, you know, so they should understand that and have it. Now, that doesn't mean that a person might not initially hear it and go, nah, I don't want to do that, and God changes their heart. Because guess what? I didn't want to be a pastor. I wanted to be, at first I wanted to be a football player when I was younger, and then when I was older I wanted to be a software engineer, and I was that. And I wanted to make a lot of money and have a lot of great vacations and do all that kind of stuff. And I still want those things sometimes, but God says, nope, I'm calling you to be a pastor. You have to lay those things down for me, and you do it, and you better do it willingly. That's why every chance I say, I like to say that I love my job. I love what I do. I love to get the opportunity to do this and to stand up here and share this with you. But that's the truth for the other elders too, whether you're paid or not. You got to do it willingly, and can't be in it for yourself, not for selfish gain. Okay, not to lord it over people, but you follow Christ's example of servant leadership. That's what we see in elders. And then the last one, which I don't know if I so much touched on here, is that you got to live a life as an elder that's worth imitating. That's why God puts you there as an elder. He puts you there so that people can look at your life and there will be an example that where people can see Christ in their life and they can follow. Now, isn't that true for every Christian in the church? It is, but in an official sense, it's true for the elder. It's true for the elder because, like, this church is saying, we are officially recognizing this person as someone who is a good example for you to follow. Okay? And I really believe, and I'm so thankful to serve with the elders that we have and have our elders here. I know that each one of them has been sent by God, and I know that each one of them, while they have their strengths and weaknesses, I know that each one of them is a man of God and is worth you looking at their life and seeing that that's an example worth following. Amen. Okay? So remember that. Now, if you're not an elder and you're here, like, and I think that each one of us should strive for that also. We should all want to have that for our lives too. We shouldn't say, oh, well, that's for the elders. But no, you should want to also be an example that's worth following. Okay, there were instructions concerning elders, and I better go fast in this, in 1 Timothy 5:17. It says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. Now, if I just pause there and I look at those couple things, what that's talking about is like, if somebody serves as an elder and does it well, that's a very honorable thing. And it says, especially if someone is an elder and their labor is in preaching and teaching, that's what they do, and they dedicate their life to that and a whole bunch of their time, and it's kind of like their job. If that's the case, he says that it's only fitting that you financially support that person. It's what the Bible says. That's what it means when it says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. So basically they're saying when they had an ox and they were he was treading out the grain, they let him eat as he did his work. They didn't muzzle his mouth. So basically he's saying that as a pastor's or elders, you know, as they're doing it, if they're dedicated to this, if it's like they're full-time dedicated to this, or their effort is really big, that's what they do, then they ought to be supported by what they do. It's only fitting. Now, for me, it's kind of weird for me to sit up here and say this as the pastor, but I'm taking myself out of the picture, because people have come along and say, I don't think pastors should get paid, or, you know, there are different people that believe different things, but that's not biblical. Because really what the Bible says is that a pastor should be able to make his living by the work that he does, teaching the word and doing that. You know, and that is honestly true why for us and our family and where we are, we do depend on people, your offerings each week. Well, part of that is going to pay in my salary, other parts of the building and other things and other pay for other people. But I could only do that if I felt like really that's what the Bible said. And the Bible does say that. The Bible says that we who dedicate our lives to preaching and teaching can earn a living from that. The laborer deserves his wages. Okay, the next thing that it says is, do not admit a charge against an elder except in the evidence of two or three witnesses. When you're an elder, you do have the possibility of somebody bringing a charge against you or saying that you did something or said something. And you can be slandered, basically. And the advice that's given in the scripture is just saying, you know what? That's definitely true. What they say may be true, but there needs to be witnesses. Multiple witnesses is what the Bible teaches. Now, sometimes people have misapplied that to situations to get, you know, pastors out of things that they did and different things. Bottom line is pastors are people. They can fall to sin. They need to have boundaries in their life and different things like that. But when somebody brings something against a pastor, there should be witnesses that come along, that go along with that. I think the reason is because when you are in this position as pastor or elder, it is possible that somebody could really just try to destroy your ministry. Set out to destroy, purposely to destroy your ministry. And so there is some protection built in here. And I guess I would hope that as if something came up against any of us that was ever true, whether there was one witness or two witnesses or whatever, that because we love God and follow God, that we would acknowledge that and admit that if that were the case. Okay? But there is that protection there. And he says, and as for those who persist in sin, and there will be times when elders struggle with sin and they persist in sin, it says, rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. And I say that I have to be open for that myself, and all the other elders have to be when you step into that office, into that position, that if you, it says, persist in sin, that you need to be rebuked in front of all. And there's a reason for that, is that other people will take it seriously and will see and know and they'll fear and be afraid of it. Okay, so that is in this case where the elder persists in sin. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. So in those things about elders, all the things about paying them, all the things about witnesses, all the things about their sin and dealing with them, we have to do those things, and we have to do them without showing partiality. Like, it could be like you could say that, okay, no, we like this pastor a lot. We're not going to embarrass him in front of everybody. But the Bible says you need to not show partiality. Or you could be like, I don't really like that pastor, so I'm not going to give an offering to him. Not that it goes to him, but I know my pay goes. I'm not going to give an offering because I know this money is going to this path. Listen, been here a long time. Actually, I've heard that kind of thing from people before. People have said things like that, like, you know, I stopped giving when this happened, you know. And that's not where we should be. Okay? So we can't do anything out of the partiality that we have. So those were the instructions about elders. Again, they will have, I don't know if I mentioned this so much, they will have various gifts and abilities, you know. Some will labor in preaching and teaching. Others will kind of maybe more specialize in the oversight. Some will have jobs outside. Some, this will be their job. It varies, okay? So there'll be various things there. They will labor in these different areas. Remember, it's biblical to financially support those elders who labor in teaching and preaching, who really dedicate their lives to that. That's a biblical thing right there. Okay, and then, hope you all wrote those down fast.
No.
Maybe I'll go back to that, but I'm short on time. Charges against an elder require multiple witnesses. Remember that. Elders who persist in sin are to be rebuked publicly. Now, the very last thing I want to say is this. We've talked a lot about elders. We're going to talk more about them next week. We'll come back and look at the qualifications for elders, some other things. But what does God, or why does God want you to have elders in your life? And if you think about it, I mean very specifically the men in this church who are elders. God has put them in your life for a reason. What does God want to use those guys for in your life? And have you been open to it? Have you accepted that? Have you allowed them to be your elders? To shepherd you through things? Like, when you have to make a tough decision, do you feel like that you have a pastor, a shepherd, that you can go and talk to about that? I really hope that you do, but I think so many times it's very easy to, we come to church, we check in, but we don't really have a pastor. We just have some people that we see, we listen to, but we're not really getting that kind of experience where a pastor will shepherd. And I don't think that the elders are the only ones that do shepherding. I think that there are a lot of the ladies that do shepherding and things too, in that, working with other ladies and doing that, and those are things that are really important. But I think, in very specifically, these elders that we have in place, everyone who's part of this church ought to have a relationship with every one of those elders. To know them well. They can be the kind of people that they can talk to and can shepherd them through things, and you always have somebody that you could turn to when you need to talk to about, like, very important decisions and significant things that are going on in your life. And really, an elder should be like, if you are in sin and you're struggling, you've turned your back on God, an elder really should be able to come and try to approach you and bring you back. And you should value that when they do that. Okay? Those should be the kind of things that you want. Now, if you don't want that in your life, it's a lot easier to just keep them at a distance and be like, I'll put you in a little compartment over here and keep you away from me. But think about this. Pray about this. Pray about how God wants to use the elders of our church in your life today, all right? Let's bypass the closing song here today. We've run late, but this is really important stuff, all right? Let's pray here, and then you're dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you that in your plan, there are elders in churches, and that we have a plurality of elders here. And I thank you for each of those guys, and I just pray that you would work through them. I pray that this message and the things we talked about would empower them to shepherd this flock, Lord. And I just thank you that I can be a part of that. It's an exciting job that we get to do that, man. What an amazing thing that we get to serve you in this way. And I pray for everyone here who is not an elder that they'll see the significance of having those shepherds in their life, and that they would just allow those shepherds to do their work in their lives, and that they would learn from them and be willing to humble themselves and put themselves under those people and their and their teaching. And I just pray that this would be a church that you would use that, and we would be strong and healthy. And there are many other ways that we need to grow strong and healthy, and I pray that you would help us. And I pray that you would use this series of sermons that I'm going to give, you would use them to make this church stronger and healthier. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.